This podcast has been brought to you by Panacea Healthcare Services, a trusted solution for your billing and collection needs.
Welcome to BH Billing Advocates. This is a podcast where we talk about everything that supports behavioral healthcare billing efforts. We'll be talking about billing and collections, utilization review, credentialing, clinical documentation, and everything that supports the revenue growth for substance abuse and mental health treatment providers nationwide.
All right, I think some introductions are in order. I'm Gian DaCosta. I'm the Director of Operations here at Panacea Healthcare Services.
And I'm James Gordon, Managing Partner for Panacea Healthcare Services.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome to BH Billing Advocates, where we cover everything concerning the business side of behavioral healthcare, from billing and collections to verification of benefits to utilization review. Everything it takes to actually turn a claim into dollars. We're here to talk about it. We're here to cover it. We're here to discuss everything. Before we actually get involved with our main subject matter, which I think will provide some really good interest for you guys today, we always love to touch on some current events. And fortunately, this current event actually leads into our main subject. Gian and I came across this, and we're pretty fascinated by it, and we love to see the growth of other industries, other modalities, should we say, in the medical industry besides just behavioral healthcare. Recently in LA, there was an LA-based medical robotics company named NeuroAnalytics Incorporated. They have recently been able to land a $20 million funding, which brings them up to a total of $66 million for their NeuroAnalytics software. It's basically a software that assists in their brain health assessments, an ancillary service that they're perfecting along the way to help hospital systems with patients that are having neurological diseases and being able to catch up on those diseases before it actually overcomes a particular patient. What was your thoughts about this, Gian, when you actually took a look at this particular segment?
I was actually very excited about it. So right now, it doesn't necessarily lend to our field. But, you know, they're looking at things like stroke, any other neurological disorders, maybe dementia. But I'm thinking long term as they develop this technology, they're looking at, you know, those larger based things for the brain. But, you know, we know that they view substance abuse as a disease. And to some people, it's also a mental disorder in a way, because it's like people are the craving portion of things. Also, you know, a lot of people who are afflicted with substance abuse, they have mental health disorders. And so maybe as they develop this technology, it'll assist in the brain's chemistry and health. And you can really break down and really get into some of those other issues and find other ways to treat them. And so future, it could definitely really impact our industry. So I'm very excited to see the progress and track it as it goes.
Totally agree. I was actually surprised, you know, as I was reading this article, you know, to know that, you know, neurological diseases such as strokes, for example, you know, it affects more than 795,000 people each year in the U.S. And you're actually right, Gian. You know, neurological diseases and substance abuse are highly related. So as they're perfecting this particular software for these ancillary services, it's my hopes that it begins to lend itself into the behavioral healthcare industry. I'm pretty sure it's a lot of fascinating things that it can do to help with the addiction process that the nation's going through right now. Now, how does this lead into our main subject matter? Ancillary services, that's why. The main reason why $66 million worth of funding was provided to this organization was for them to perfect that particular ancillary service of brain mapping and brain health assessment related activities. And of course, ancillary services is going to be an extreme assistant factor in behavioral healthcare. It's ways to help the actual patient improve for their addiction challenges, but also from a behavioral healthcare perspective, it helps to improve actually a provider's revenue stream. So there's a lot of different things that can occur by adding ancillary services to your behavioral healthcare profile. All right, BH Billing Advocates, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm looking forward to today's subject matter. It's definitely a good one. As I am speaking with providers nationwide or any of our clients that we work with, I am asked a very constant question. It's asked very consistently whenever I speak to providers. And what they ask of us is, how can we make more revenue? What can we do to tack on and be able to actually make more money to help our clients and continue to save lives. And one of the things that Gian and I are always echoing to our providers we work with or those that we see in the industry is, what are your ancillary services looking like? How are you tacking on additional services that can assist the client throughout his journey of his addiction challenges, but can also in the long run assist you in your revenue growth? This is a great subject matter. I hope you guys are ready to take it all in. And as Gian says, get your dipping sauce ready.
All right, guys, you know what time it is. Go ahead and get your dipping sauce ready. On this episode, we're going to be dropping a fresh nugget on ancillary services. All right, guys, so I want to break this up into kind of three parts. So first thing I'm going to discuss is non-covered. So when people are looking for ancillary services, just some things to bear in mind. Sometimes they're trying to expand the therapy sessions and the different kinds of therapies that they do. And so one thing you also need to bear in mind when you're looking at ancillary services is it going to be covered by the insurance? So some people try to do chiropractic sessions. Some people try to do art therapy. Sometimes they'll do exercise.
A little bit of equine.
That equine therapy, that's very common, especially for California. And just one thing to bear in mind is that the insurance carriers, they don't deem it as true therapy. And then the only way you could be reimbursed for some of them is when they're true medical things like chiropractic services. But then even then, it's going to be very, very hard to get paid for it because it's going to be very diagnose driven. The physician needs to be licensed. It's going to be a little bit harder of a niche to get into. And it's not necessarily going to be that revenue booster that you're looking for. From there, I want to discuss experimental. So that's where we get into where some people really look into, maybe I should try this. And when I say with the experimentals, the main thing to do is that verification of benefit. So you decide you want to do an ancillary service, whether it be meals, brain mapping, the bio beds for biofeedback therapy, infusions. The main thing to do is to do that verification of benefit, because not everyone's plan is going to have that available and have it covered to be paid. And even then after that, one thing that you can run into is medical necessity. So ensure that you're showing true need for the service that you're providing. I'll give you an example, like with the infusions. I know many facilities have tried to incorporate infusions, which is basically kind of like IVs. So when they're doing, say, detox or res, or they try to do it more with the PHP and outpatient, because on the detox and the res, bear in mind that they're inpatient, so everything is inclusive to that day. But say the patient is feeling very ill or sick, or they're having some symptoms or cravings, they try to use IV therapy to help them get all the things that they need to boost them back up, whether it be certain minerals, vitamins, whatever they can assist with, saline solution, you know, the usual as far as IV therapy is concerned. And they're trying to brighten that patient's health, and it may actually help that patient to succeed in their treatment, to not look to go back to drugs in that day, or just help them go back to work, whatever the situation may have been. However, the insurance company, it needs to be very justified, and then you also need to ensure, again, that that plan is going to cover and pay for it.
So remember, guys, as providers, just because you are taking a particular ancillary service on, such as IV therapy, doesn't mean every client you bring into your facility is going to be eligible for that ancillary service. It's a big, important factor.
And then one that I always like to touch on is the meals. So I know this is something that's becoming very common, and I'm not against it. Meals are fine on that outpatient basis level, and I'm going to say outpatient strictly, not for any of your per diem things for the day, but for those outpatient services, patients who are strictly outpatient, that's something that's very viable. I know a lot of facilities do already provide food anyhow, and the reimbursement for it is low. It tends to be anywhere between $5 to $15. It's not much, but as you add it up throughout a year, it could turn into an extra $500, an extra $1,000. It is something rather than nothing, but always do it. Add that to your verification process, because there are definitely going to be cases in which it's not covered. However, it is something that could assist you in that revenue generation.
Another important factor I think as providers you should take in is the ancillary service that you would like to introduce to your program, the staff that you would have to add on, the different processes that you would have to add on. Is it financially worth it? You want to be able to do an assessment. You want to be able to make sure that it's a financial worth to add new staff members and to add on new processes that's going to take more time to reach its goals.
Exactly. Especially when you're talking about the biofeedback and the brain mapping with that, James. You're absolutely right. Make sure you're partnering with a good company, especially with the cost of the equipment. Do you need a special person to run it? Is it something the patient can do at home? All those things are definitely factors that you need to consider. And then from there, I'm going to talk about the leading one in the industry right now, I would say, is the MAT services. So MAT services is medication-assisted treatment. So I'm going to get into this very lightly, I would say, and actually in a future episode, we'll have an expert to kind of give you guys more in-depth knowledge as far as their experience. They have tons of experience, years of experience with MAT services. But MAT services is something to consider. There are different kinds, of course. You'll have the oral pills, the injectables. You even have the surgical implants. And the goal of this is for patients who have relapsed several times. Normally, you want to go for a minimum of 3 times that they've relapsed and have not been able to successfully go through treatment, is to use medication-assisted treatment as that option to truly help them slowly reacclimate into society while also dealing with their cravings for the drugs, because the cravings portion tends to be the hardest part. There are actually many insurance carriers who view it very favorably these days. United Healthcare is one who, when they see a patient relapsing, they want to know if you have offered medication-assisted treatment to them. Is that something that they've considered? Because they see that the patients have a less likelihood of coming back. They're not in those higher levels of care consistently. They're saving money while you're also saving money. And a lot of people ask, well, where am I really making money, especially if I won't be hosting the medication-assisted treatment myself? What if I have to use someone else? Well, that patient still has to go through therapy. They still have sessions they need to attend. So if you find someone who's just doing the medicated assisted treatment side, where they're able to administer it, whatever it may be, they still have to go to therapy. So they can still see you. That could extend the time that the patient is going to be within your care. And then on the end of that, if you want to say, I want to make all the money, I know a lot of facilities are considering doing small surgical centers so they can do the implants with a physician with a separate entity, different tax ID, and they want to be able to service other providers rather than just their own clients. And then you have a secondary business that you have open to service that need for medication-assisted treatment, because it is the future. It's definitely where the treatment space is heading, and it's crazy because insurance carriers are viewing it as very positive. So I definitely think that's something to consider. The reimbursements, especially depending on this type, is higher. The surgical, of course, is going to be more. And then you also have the injectables and oral pills. All right, guys. So I hope that that really helped you to get an idea of what you're doing with ancillary services. Bear in mind, from the not covered to the experimental to the leading, which is MAT services, and kind of where they fall, what you should be considering, and what you need to do to move forward. And again, as I said, for those MAT services, keep staying tuned to our podcast, because we will have that expert on quite soon.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of BH Billing Advocates. Really appreciate your time. If you have any questions on the information that was covered today, please do not be shy. There is no dumb questions at all. You can reach us at info@bhbillingadvocates.com. Plus, please note, if you have any other additional questions on topics that actually went beyond what we spoke about today, those particular questions could end up evolving to becoming a subject matter on one of our future episodes. So please, let us know what you're thinking as it pertains to the business side of behavioral healthcare. We're looking forward to help you.
And remember, no matter what the problem, we are always ready to snap a cape on.
Dun, 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 dun. BH Billing Podcast.